This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Well, the celebrations in Africa for Ghana are here in the stadium.
Well, most members of the United States soccer team are flying home today after their 2-1 loss this weekend to Ghana. And many U.S. soccer fans will likely follow, carrying with them wounded spirits, yes. I hope for a different outcome 4 years from now, and probably more than a few of those vuvuzelas. But a group of researchers in Boston will be watching to see if the returning travelers are bringing home something else they picked up on their trip: globe-trotting diseases. Researchers from MIT and Boston's Children's Hospital launched a special World Cup edition of their real-time disease tracking program. It's called Health Map, and it tracks and aggregates thousands of newspaper and public health websites to monitor outbreaks. In the lead up to the month-long soccer tournament, they've been watching to see if mumps from the UK or swine flu from India will show up in Johannesburg. And they'll be watching to see if outbreaks of Rift Valley fever in South Africa will head the other direction. So joining us now to talk about this new form of epidemiology are the co-founders of HealthMap. Dr. John Brownstein is a professor at Harvard Medical School and works at Boston's Children's Hospital. Dr. Brownstein, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
I'm also joined by Clark Freifeld. He is a PhD student at MIT's vaunted Media Lab, and he's a researcher at Children's Hospital as well. Clark Freifeld, welcome to Radio Boston to you.
Thanks.
Well, first of all, Dr. Brownstein, I am fortunate enough to have a computer screen here in the studio, and I'm looking at what looks like your World Cup health map. So why don't I remind everyone that if you're near a computer now or a little bit later, you can actually get a link to the health map. It's on our website at wbur.org/Boston. But describe to me, what exactly is it that health map does, and what am I seeing here?
Well, health map is a system that is essentially scouring the web looking for all public health events around the world. Specifically, we focus on disease outbreaks and look for early signs of potential problems. Around the FIFA World Cup, we're particularly interested in people coming to the World Cup with new diseases, spreading them among in this mass gathering, and then bringing them back home. And so we're concerned about a variety of infectious diseases that people might be bringing with them and then taking back to their loved ones.
Someone on our staff a little earlier today was saying with people maybe sharing all those vuvuzelas,
yes,
and blowing all those horns, they're swapping some fluids as well. But what is it about an event like the World Cup that brings special attention to researchers such as yourself? Clark Freifeld.
Right. So what our system does basically is track infectious disease activity around the world in near real time. And so a lot of our usage and our users are concerned with travel-related spread of diseases. So anytime you have any kind of mass gathering, such as an international sporting event like the World Cup, you have an increase in travel from around the world to a specific location, people coming from all different parts of the world, interacting and sharing their microbes with each other, as you mentioned. So that's part of the reason that we focus on an event like this.
Gigantic human petri dish, essentially.
Exactly.
So right. The map is actually very interesting looking. It's a map of the world, and you've got little pins, anywhere from the United States to Nigeria, India, Australia, and those are places where you've had reports of disease outbreaks?
Absolutely. So we're seeing outbreaks happening in places like, well, for instance, we had a Brazil-Chile match today, dengue outbreak in Brazil, respiratory virus in Chile. We've had measles in Australia, mumps in England. We're watching all these events, concerned that they might be introduced into to the World Cup events.
And so then that those, as you mentioned earlier, actually, if they get spread amongst fans in the 80,000 strong World Cup stadiums, that they could also then spread worldwide when those fans go home.
Exactly. So we have 300,000 foreigners that are coming in and 120,000 U.S. Visitors. They could be bringing that back home.
John Brownstein, how is it that you actually track this information? You're looking at local reporting around the world,
right?
Newspaper articles?
So we call this digital disease surveillance. Essentially, we're looking and scouring the web. We mine over 50,000 websites every hour looking for specific reports, early intelligence, very similar to the way CIA collects intelligence. We're collecting it on public health events.
So, Clark Freifeld, how is it that you're collecting that? Is it through the reporting that's coming from public health agencies in these countries or newspaper articles? What do you scour?
Both. Really, we look for anything, almost anything that's available publicly on the internet. And basically, the way the system works is it's through a piece of artificial intelligence software that we developed that scours all these different sources. So a lot of our information comes from news media, public health agencies, and then we filter and classify it with different automated algorithms.
Do you worry about the technological disparity that might exist from country to country, such as, you know, would online newspapers in Ethiopia be as robust in their availability of health reporting as those, in Norway?
Right, absolutely. So that's one of the key challenges of this type of system, is that because we're really drawing mainly from electronic sources, we tend to get better coverage in areas of the world where the electronic internet infrastructure is more developed. But one of the ways that we're working to address that is through our development of mobile applications. We've developed a couple of different smartphone applications for iPhone and Android. We're also moving into using text messaging because in these places, like you mentioned, say Ethiopia, people don't have necessarily access to the World Wide Web in the way that we use it, say, in Boston, but use mobile phones for a lot of different ways to get information by text messaging.
In fact, mobile penetration in some of these African countries is quite incredible. So, Twitter even as a potential source?
Yes, definitely. We're mining the Twitter space as well, looking for early reports. And in fact, that's really where our system is moving beyond just the newspaper, but to the individual. So the individual holds the ability to report an event that's taking place.
Dr. Brownstein, let me ask you, how is what you're doing through the electronic version of HealthMap here different than what epidemiologists did in the past when they were tracking diseases?
Right. I mean, we have a lot more ability now to track things in real time. It's amazing that at every given moment we know of a new event that's taking place. I mean, we get about 300 new disease outbreak events around the world each day, and that's far beyond what traditional public health surveillance has been able to do, traditional shoe leather epidemiology, which involves a huge amount of resources. So we're trying to extend beyond what public health capacity has traditionally been able to handle.
And so what are the practical uses then of this data? Say that you do determine that, Rift Valley fever or something like that is spreading amongst fans in South Africa. What would you do then?
Well, there's a number of things that we can do. I mean, one of the main things is that our system is a public dissemination tool. So we're trying to engage the public in understanding disease threats and really try to encourage proper public health practice. But we also work very closely with governments and, for instance, the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control, giving them critical real-time information so that they can then enact proper prevention and control activities.
Oh, so that there could be, through HealthMap, CDC could decide to do something where people come flying back from South Africa, for example, might get additional screening or something like that at the airport?
Exactly. So we're working with the Centers for Disease Control on actually specific travel advisories from the data that we're collecting. We can provide that information to the Centers for Disease Control. They can decide whether to enact a travel alert around a specific disease.
Interesting. Clark Freifeld, let me ask you, we asked about the technological disparities in countries. What about just the general potential disparity when it comes to people's interest in certain kinds of diseases? You know, like Rift Valley fever, is that going to catch as many people's attention as, say, if you say there's like a swine flu outbreak on its way?
Right. So that's another challenge that we face is where do people tend to focus their attention in terms of different diseases? But on the one hand, we do cover that issue in a certain sense because we draw from news sources that are really interested primarily in fast-moving stories, things that are happening in real time. So diseases that tend to spread rapidly tend to actually get more focus. The other way that we're hoping to address that issue, as John mentioned, is to move beyond news sources and to empower any individual to make a report. So if there's something that's impacting a local person in their community that maybe is not getting a lot of attention in the international press, they can make a report directly into the HealthMap system. So we're sort of trying to cut down on those intermediaries.
I see. So that's a way to sort of balance the extremes that news media itself might go through in terms of coverage. Dr. John Brownstein, this isn't the first time you've deployed HealthMap in a large sporting event, is it?
Right. We actually did the same type of project around the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, where we were tracking outbreaks at the Olympic Village as well and places that were connected to Vancouver.
And so how did you get a sense as to the efficacy or the success of HealthMap? Were you
well,
able...
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, we actually identified a measles outbreak that was taking place in the South Pacific. That same measles strain ended up in the Olympic Village, and it really showed the incredible interconnectivity between places around the world and the ability for a new pathogen to enter into a mass gathering.
Mm-hmm. So the thing about epidemiology and how it's really being used here with all this technology, do you see this as sort of the next step in terms of disease tracking around the world, that maybe an epidemiologist, as you said earlier, won't have to pack their bags anymore and head out to the center of the outbreak?
Well, definitely we see this as a complementary tool, a tool that can actually help empower epidemiologists and hopefully make their jobs easier.
Well, that is Dr. John Brownstein. He's a professor at Harvard Medical School and works at the Children's Hospital as well. He is co-founder of HealthMap. Dr. Brownstein, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
I was also joined today by Clark Freifeld. He is at MIT's Media Lab and also a researcher at Children's Hospital and also a co-founder of HealthMap as well. Clark Freifeld, thank you as well.
Thank you.
There's a link to the HealthMap on our website at wbur.org/Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.